Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to HIV Hope and Charity, a podcast series brought to you by TVPS, a charity that's been supporting people affected by HIV since 1985. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Jess, and we work for TVPS. And our aim is to get as many people as possible HIV educated. If you like the podcast, please rate, subscribe, and leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Welcome to part three.
Yes, of our World AIDS Day special.
A bumper edition. I'm loving this. Are you?
It's good. We've been on quite a journey, haven't we?
Haven't we? Bit science this morning. Do you like I've still got my science glasses on?
Yes, I do.
Especially a bit like brains from the Thunderbirds.
And yet there is a likeness. Okay, well, we are looking at the history of the Red Ribbon.
Oh, amazing. Yes. I know some about the history of the Red Ribbon. I know it's sort of one of the first awareness ribbons, but I'm very interested to hear more.
Excellent. Right. Get yourself sitting comfortably.
Oh, and before we start, I'm just going to say Happy World AIDS Day again, everyone.
Oh, that's lovely.
I'm just trying to make it like Christmas Day.
You are, aren't you?
There'll be cards next year, greeting cards.
Okay, so we both know, but let's share with everyone else that the Red Ribbon is used to show support to those affected by HIV, and it's worn on the 1st of December, which is known as World AIDS Day. It's a global day of recognition, so not just in the UK, but we are going to look at how the day and the ribbon came about. So we're going to start with the ribbon first. So it is...
Show me yours, let me see, because I'm going to put a picture out. Let me see your ribbon.
There.
Beautiful. Do you like mine?
Beautiful as well.
Lovely. I placed it specially in a good place. I don't think it's like the poppy where there's like a specific... I don't know. I saw in the news this year, there's a certain way you're supposed to wear a poppy. I don't know.
No, with the ribbon, you can wear it anywhere. As long as you're wearing one and it's prominent, I think that's good enough.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you said about it being one of the first, and it is reputed to be the first ribbon. However, the idea was based on the yellow ribbons worn to show support for American soldiers who fought in the Gulf War. There's a long association, isn't there, between like yellow sashes and bows and ribbons and the armed forces in America.
Yeah. Isn't there a song, Tie a Yellow Ribbon Round an Old Oak Tree?
Yes. Why don't you sing us a line of
no,
it?
No, I actually don't know it. Is it like from country dancing at school? Do you remember doing country dancing?
No.
You never did country dancing? Is that like a southern thing? You're from the south, so... They did it instead of PE sometimes, and we'd dance to that, but I can't remember it. So it's a bit like, you know, like Do-Si-Do, Your Partner, a bit like a Kaylee, but we would call it country dancing.
Right. And this was instead of netball, was it?
Well, so this was in junior school. So this was before you went to secondary school. So this only happened for those 4 years. We called it junior school. I don't think you guys call it middle school here.
I went to middle school.
Oh. Yeah. So that's when it happened. Lots of galloping. You know, swing your partner round and round, that business.
Oh, lovely. It sounds quite good fun, actually.
Do you know, it really was. You may proceed.
Oh, thank you very much. Okay, so yellow bows and ribbons. completely veered off track here, but the red ribbon is the first awareness ribbon. So you are right when you say, yes, it's one of the first. It is the actual first.
So the pink breast cancer and all of those that have come later, we know for loads of different causes that everyone wears, which is great. So they were inspired by the HIV World AIDS Day red ribbon then?
Yeah.
Amazing.
I know.
Starting it all, HIV, yes.
Yes. Pioneers leading the way. That's what we like. It started in 1991 in America. A group of artists came together to create a meaningful symbol at the height of the AIDS crisis. They wanted to show support and compassion for those with AIDS and their caregivers. Oh, no. My speech is already... This is because we've done so many of these.
Yeah, it's because this is the third one of the day. This is what happens if you do a bumper special day edition.
I think you're right. So these artists, they were part of the Visual AIDS Artists Caucus, and their website gives the history of the ribbon, which is fantastic. We'll put a link to their website.
Oh, so they still have that up now?
Mm. Yeah, no, it's still up now, yes. So they created something called the Ribbon Project, which better known today simply as the Red Ribbon. So they had a series of meetings in April and May in 1991, and they used the yellow ribbons as inspiration, and that's how the Red Ribbon came about. The colour red was chosen for its connection to blood and the idea of passion, not only anger, but love. And actually, if you think about it, that is quite symbolic, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose. But I guess red also, like, danger! And that's the one I wouldn't be wanting. You know what I mean?
Yes. I think it can be interpreted in many ways. But this is the angle they were going for. And obviously, people were angry at the time because, you know, it was an awful situation. We've covered this many times before. But to encompass that with love, I think, you know, the good intent is there.
I knew it was based on blood, the red, but I didn't know love and passion also. Makes sense.
And they selected the ribbon format because it was easy to recreate and wear. So the original instructions were to cut a red ribbon in 6-inch lengths, fold it at the top into an inverted V shape, and then use a safety bin to attach it to clothing. Such a simple idea, isn't it?
I love it. And I have to say, we don't sell them, do we? So we give them away. And I know some places do. It's no judgment. It's whatever you want to do. Some places ask for a donation. We don't because of this premise, because the whole thought process behind the red ribbon is it should be free. Make it at home, wear it. So it's all about the support rather than fundraising for us, I think.
And they did. I mean, they created these ribbons in their thousands, and they call them ribbon bees. It's like spelling bees in America. So gathering of artists, members, friends, supporters, all working together to cut, fold and pin ribbons for national distribution. When requests became too large to handle, other groups were engaged to participate. So they include the Armory Ribbon Bee Project, which was organised by artists Hope Sando and Frank Moore, in which homeless women at the Park Avenue shelter were paid weekly to make tens and thousands of ribbons. Obviously, it grew and grew, and they partnered with Broadway Cares and Equity Fights AIDS in June 91. And the reason they did that is they wanted all the guests and presenters at the annual Tony Awards, the 45th annual Tony Awards, to wear ribbons. They chose those awards as a way to communicate the extent that the epidemic was affecting members of their own community, so artists and performers. And one of the first presenters to wear the iconic symbol was Jeremy Irons.
Was it?
So I think he was presenting and he wore the ribbon, and that's how it caught on. Because after that, you know, very quickly became renowned as an international symbol of AIDS awareness. You know, we've seen people wearing it in Oscars, at the Emmys, at the Grammys.
Anton Deck. Every year. I love that they wear every year without fail. Yes. Thank you, Anton Deck.
Yeah, and there are other TV programmes now as well. You know, you see people wearing them on talk shows and TV programmes and all kinds of things. So it's definitely the symbol for HIV. Now, it has led the way, as we have talked about, for many other colour ribbons and awareness projects. But unlike some other commercial marketing campaigns, that's not my words, that's the words of the original art group, the Red Ribbon evolved as an artist or an activist project. So it's never been copyrighted in the United States because they wanted it to be worn widely as a symbol in the fight against AIDS. And actually, their decision to not copyright it makes good sense. Morally, they're on kind of the same page as we would be. So they believe it's important to remain anonymous as individuals. So nobody gets credit for coming up with the design for the ribbon or for, you know, making the first ribbons. They just credit the artist's caucus as a whole. So there's no individual creator. They kept the image copyright free, so no individual organisation would profit from the use of the red ribbon. And they used the red ribbon as a conscious raising symbol, not as a commercial or trademark tool. See, I like their morals.
I agree. And I think that's why I like how we, like I said before, no judgment at all. Like, you know, with all charities, we all need to make money. But I do like that we follow suit and yes. that we don't charge. And, you know, this year, obviously, when people wanted ribbons, individuals or organisations, they just get in touch with us, don't they? Same as every year, email us and we'll post them out. Won't charge you for postage because we're lovely.
We are lovely. And we are following the original theme or the original premise of what they wanted the ribbon to be about. So I think it's important to kind of still do that. Now, I should point out the red ribbon, it's not solely linked with HIV anymore. There are other organisations that also use the red ribbon, but they came later. So it's worn to support the awareness and prevention of drug abuse and drink driving. I think that's in America. And in Canada, the red ribbon represents Canadians with multiple sclerosis. So it's been used for different things, but let's always remember it was for HIV first.
And I think it's really important. I think wearing the ribbon is so much more important than maybe people even realise, even more than raising awareness and thinking about the history of what's happened. We've had clients, and I know we've talked about this on the podcast before, who've come in and they have noticed that someone's been wearing a red ribbon. And it's, you might not know if someone's positive and they see you wearing a red ribbon out. And it's just that almost like a little anonymous hug of someone's, supporting and not stigmatising. So I think it's really important to wear it for those reasons as well.
And you know, whenever I see someone on TV wearing one, they instantly, I'm just like, oh, they get it. They understand. Even if it's Simon Cowell on X Factor. He's not as harsh as he makes out.
I agree with you. I think it's so important.
Okay, now, why the 1st of December?
Yes, why the 1st of December? Because very close to Christmas, first day of the advent calendar. Did you have yours this morning?
Yeah, of course.
Good. Okay.
Yes, no, I did. My kids, they're very savvy these days and they're much older than they used to be. So they're very aware. You know, when they were little, sometimes they'd forget what day they were opening. And obviously, I don't want them having too many sweets in the morning. So if they'd missed a couple of days, I'd just eat them myself.
Oh, so harsh. What if they were saving them for the weekend?
Oh, God, I've probably done them out of a childhood memory, haven't I?
They'll come back to you years later and be like, do you remember that? I remember. Advent calendars have gone nuts these days, though. A friend of mine just received a brew dog. Advent, so a can of beer every day,
every morning.
She was just like, I mean, I can't drink this much in December.
Oh my goodness.
Save them up, that's fine, have them over the Christmas period. And lovely, or you can get makeup ones, can't you? I've seen some pork scratchings ones.
Gosh, I mean, it's very commercialized, isn't it?
I remember the days when sometimes you just get that one with a picture that your gran would get you and you'd be like, oh, where's the chocolate? Jeez. Still open it though.
I know now that you cut it these days, just opening a little picture and then, oh, it's a star today, yay. No, it's got to be sweets for me personally. Right, so World AIDS Day. This is interesting because I never realised why the 1st of December was chosen. The idea was conceived in August 1987 by James W. Bunn and Thomas Netter. They worked as public information officers for the Global Programme on AIDS at the World Health Organization in Geneva. They took their idea to Dr. Jonathan Mann, who is the director of the Global Programme on AIDS, which is now known as UNAIDS. He liked the concept and approved it and agreed that the recommendation should be the first observance of World AIDS Day should be on the 1st of December 1988. Now, Bunn, who was one of the ones that came up with the idea, he was a former television broadcast journalist from San Francisco. And he thought in order to get maximum coverage of World AIDS Day in the Western news, the day had to be placed between the US elections, which had taken place in November, on November the 8th, President Bush won, and before the Christmas holidays. So he wanted all the press coverage from the election to die down. Thought, right, Christmas, the holidays are coming, so we'll go for the 1st of December. That's a really good date. And that's when they did it. But I don't think at the time they thought this would become a day every year. It was solely picked that year on that date for those reasons, and it stuck.
And then, yeah, we've just carried it on. Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yes. So now when we're like, oh, it's so close to Christmas, It was never intended to be like that every year, just because the first one was because of the election.
Well, I think Christmas has probably just got bigger and bigger and longer, hasn't it? It's now sort of a, yeah, right at the start of that Christmassy, shoppingy period.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, it's not an easy sell sometimes, is it? I'm going to be honest. And I know some charities who do like a bi-yearly event in the summer around kind of celebrating World AIDS Day because they feel they don't get enough coverage at Christmas. We've not done that, actually. We always stick to the 1st of December.
I think it's been, if I'm really honest, I think it's been a bit easier this year because so testing week used to be the week before, didn't it?
Yes, HIV testing week, of course.
Yeah, so that fell just before World AIDS Day. And this year that was in February. And I think next year that will also be in February. I know we're just waiting to hear. And obviously super important week, but I felt that sometimes World AIDS Day seemed to get a bit lost in the furor. You know, you've got testing week, then you've got, you know, advent calendars opening, I'm a celebrity starting, dancing on ice happening, I think. A ton of different things that just sort of, it got a bit lost at sometimes, didn't it? Which is kind of, we thought we'll do a trilogy of podcasts celebrating all things World AIDS Day to really highlight it.
Absolutely. So there you go. There's the history. That's why it's on the 1st of December.
Well, I have something to share as well. Everyone wears a ribbon for different reasons, don't they? I went away and I asked all the trustees why they wear the red ribbon and why they feel it's important to wear the red ribbon. So I'm going to share that with you today.
Okay? Oh, all our trustees are going to be part of this podcast.
Yes, how lovely.
That's awesome.
Okay, so here we go.
To start the conversation, one of the biggest things, especially with my age group and HIV, is that people think of it as being something that happened in the 80s or the 90s. It's not a conversation that people are having enough when they're younger.
To raise awareness of, you know, the fact that HIV is, you know, still a prevalent condition.
It sparks a conversation. People will say, what is that? You explain it's for International AIDS Day. People then ask about that. And you can unlock a lot of or debunk a lot of myths.
It sort of signifies to a certain extent all the trauma and troubles that have gone before, and many people who have lived through that and campaigned and got us to the stage where we are now.
I think wearing the red ribbon is important to me because I think it's a symbol that HIV is still out there today and that it hasn't gone away, and it's still an important that we recognise that people are still living with HIV.
So very different reasons, like we said.
Oh, I heard a police siren in the background of one of those. That was recorded at our centre. Our trustee was not being arrested.
That was at our centre in Slough.
Yes, which is very close to the police station.
Yes, so that's why you were hearing that. But yes,
they're good comments.
They're all great reasons. Thank you to everyone that's worn a ribbon today and has got involved and who has sent pictures into our amazing ribbon wall. That's going to stay up now. So make sure you go to our website, tvps.org.uk, and go and check that out. So that's going to be up permanently. But yeah, thank you to everyone who's got involved this World AIDS Day. And if you haven't done anything yet and you think, oh, I probably should do something, if you don't do anything else this World AIDS Day, just go and have a listen. Pick one of our other HIV heroes. Just have a little listen. Just get a little bit more HIV educated. It's all we can ask for, isn't it, Sarah?
It is. And I think that's really good advice, actually, because some people don't want to wear the ribbon or, you know, they're not sure where to start. But our podcasts are definitely a good starting point.
Oh, look at us. So we're getting better at blowing our own trumpet. Do you remember before when we're like, we're awful? Now we're like, yes, listen to this. And they're so educational. And I learn along with everyone else every week when Sarah teaches us all about the HIV here. And we've featured some amazing people, all so inspirational. So definitely go and do that. Well, happy World AIDS Day.
And to you.
And I'll see you next year. I mean, I'll see you in a minute when I stop recording this.
Doing so well, fluffed up the end, marvellous.
Well, it wouldn't be our podcast, right, if it wasn't a bit of a mess.
Thank you for listening to HIV Hope and Charity. If you'd like to know more about the work that we do, visit tvps.org.uk, and please like, subscribe and rate the podcast if you enjoyed it.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.